I am cautiously optimistic that as we get into the late fall and early winter, we will have an answer, and I believe it will be positive.
The top U.S. expert on COVID-19 expresses his optimism. This is Wednesday, the 29th of July, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. Also ahead, Malaysia's former prime minister is convicted on charges of corruption. And as much as our lives have gone virtual, a bizarre story about virtual kidnapping of Chinese students in Australia. It is all on today's VOA Asia. The Trump administration says it has signed a deal to get doses of COVID-19 under development. AP's Sagar Meghani reports.
There is no vaccine yet, but the administration's been moving to arrange delivery of ones pharmaceutical companies are working to develop so that they can be quickly distributed once proven safe and effective. Health and Human Services Chief Alex Azar tells Fox News this contract is with Pfizer for the first 100 million doses of its vaccine, with the option for buying another 500 million. Nearly two dozen potential vaccines are in various stages of human testing worldwide. A handful are moving into late-stage testing. Sagar Meghani, Washington.
Dr. Anthony Fauci, director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, appeared on the ABC Good Morning America program. He was asked about his assessment of the search for the vaccine.
The phase 3 trial, as you know, started yesterday. The early data on phase 1, which was fundamentally safety, but it was enough for us to see the kind of response that this vaccine induces an individual. And it induced a level of antibodies, which are the proteins that fight the virus, at a level that was quite high in the sense of it was comparable, if not better, than what we see in the recovery from natural infection. And that's really one of the issues when you're dealing with vaccines. If you can induce a response that's at least as good as natural infection, that is a good predictor that you're going to have a vaccine that works. Obviously, the proof of the pudding is you've got to do the trial. It's a large trial. 30,000 people are going to be in the trial. That will give us the answer. And yes, I am cautiously optimistic that as we get into the late fall and early winter, we will have an answer, and I believe it will be positive.
Nearly 4 million Americans have been infected by the new coronavirus, and at least 142,000 have died from COVID-19, the disease it causes, according to Johns Hopkins University. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now at voanews.com. The head of the Chinese Center for Disease Control and Prevention says he's been injected with an experimental coronavirus vaccine in an attempt to persuade the public to follow suit when one is approved. Malaysian authorities say 26 Rohingya refugees who were thought to have drowned after jumping off a fishing boat and trying to swim ashore to the island of Langkawi have been found alive. South Korea acknowledges that a North Korean defector who had been accused of rape in the South may have sneaked past South Korean border guards before apparently swimming back to his North Korean homeland. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on Facebook at VOA Asia and on the VOAnews.com website. Malaysia's former Prime Minister Najib Razak has been convicted of corruption related to the multi-billion dollar looting of a state investment fund. VOA Steve Miller spoke to reporter Zan Azli in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia via WhatsApp about the verdict and what's next.
This first trial involves SRC International. Now, SRC International is a company, it's a subsidiary under 1MDB, 1MDB being the sovereign wealth fund by the Malaysian government, owned by the Malaysian government. And today, the judge has found Najib Razak, former Malaysian Prime Minister, guilty of all seven charges, which involves money laundering, abuse of power, and criminal breach of trust. And the amount that is linked to this particular trial, it comes to about 42 million Malaysian ringgit, which is approximately about US 10 million. So today he has been found guilty of all seven charges that comes under this trial.
Yeah, you mentioned that this is, you know, the first of many trials. So, I mean, what happens next? Because I believe he has five total trials in all. So how might this verdict for this subset of charges affect what's going to move forward?
Look, like it or not, from the very beginning, Najib Razak's scandal with 1MDB has been a public affair. It is very much a trial in the public's eyes, in the media as well. And if you remember, Malaysia had a general election in 2018, and Najib Razak, who was the prime minister then, he was leading the National Front, the Barisan National Party at that time, lost for the first time in the history of Malaysia, right? They've never lost the general election. And one of the main contributors to the loss for his party was actually the perception that the public had for the scandal, for the 1MDB corruption scandal that is directly linked to Najib Razak.
Yeah, you mentioned that, you know, this was one of the things that led his party to lose power. With him guilty, does that stand to hold true for upcoming elections as well?
Well, I mean, if you look at the recent past, the recent couple of months in Malaysia, there have been a change in government. After 2018, when Najib Razak's party lost the general election, the former opposition became the government. And in March this year, a few months ago, there was a jump in different members of parliament, and another party now is the government. And there has been talks that there may be snap elections that will be held in, you know, before the end of this year. And if there is going to be snap general elections, I think this will affect the elections, because right now Najib's party, UMNO, is actually now back in the government. And if they're going to have snap elections, I think it's going to affect the party very, very much, the verdict that has happened, that's come out today.
Zan, going back to former Prime Minister Najib Razak, what did the judge decide in terms of sentencing the former Prime Minister?
The verdict was done throughout the whole day, and the sentencing has come right at the end of the day before the court closed. Justice Muhammad Nazlan Muhammad Ghazali has sentenced Najib Razak to 12 years in jail, and fined him 210 million Malaysian ringgit for abuse of power. So he got, it's basically, he's been sentenced to 12 years in jail for abuse of power. He's been sentenced to 10 years in jail for each of his three criminal breach of trust charges, and also a 10-year term for money laundering. But all of these jail term time is will be served concurrently. So he's got a jail term of 12 years.
Reporter Zan Asli in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, speaking with VOA's Steve Miller. Happening now in Asia, Afghanistan's president announces his government will soon complete the release of 5,000 Taliban prisoners, thus paving the way for the start of long-sought-after peace negotiations with the insurgent group. After the end of the speech, the Taliban announced a ceasefire for 3 days and three nights. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. As Thailand's economy struggles to recover from the initial stages of the COVID-19 pandemic, renewed anti-government demonstrations have sprung up across the country. Protesters are demanding amendments to the Constitution, Parliament to be dissolved, and a stop to the harassment of rights activists. The rallies were temporarily halted earlier this year when the COVID outbreak curbed large gatherings. Steve Sanford reports from Chiang Mai for VOA.
So-called flash mobs have gained momentum in Thailand, with more than 40 anti-government rallies organized on short notice since a massive anti-government demonstration was held in Bangkok on July 18th. Tech-savvy students have coordinated these gatherings at a moment's notice to avoid a security backlash. Protest leaders are worried that if they criticize the ruling class, they will be forced into exile, like some activists in the past. Or worse, go missing.
It's a dark path. There's no clear path that we could take because the economy has created this overwhelming pressure for the younger generation to come out and be the leaders to demand all our rights back.
Many of the participants include high school and university students belonging to the groups Free Youth and the Union of Students of Thailand. Veteran activists say the young demonstrators should not be underestimated by the ruling government, who have used words like adorable to downplay the protests.
I see a big difference with this movement right now, that instead of going all the way to Bangkok, You know, they set up groups in local areas, everywhere, everywhere. The advantage is that they can organize people in local areas. They don't need to spend so much money traveling by bus or train or plane to Bangkok.
In Thailand's north, farmers who supported the military-backed Palong Pracharat Party were promised guaranteed prices for their crops. But many have seen these promises broken or at least put on hold since the 2019 election and the coronavirus outbreak earlier this year. Now, some are supporting the protests.
I'm not entirely confident that the student movement will be successful with their protests, but I will support them. I want to see permanent change. I don't want things to go back to the same way as we used to be.
While the rallies gain recognition across the country, the government says it is setting up an extraordinary commission to open dialogue between demonstrators and the government. Steve Sanford for VOA News in Chiang Mai, Thailand.
The mayors of Portland, Oregon, and five other major U.S. cities appealed Monday to Congress to make it illegal for the federal government to deploy militarized agents to cities that don't want them. Associated Press correspondent Julie Walker has more.
This comes as the feds say they will stay in Portland and possibly deploy more agents until the U.S. courthouse is safe. Last night, a few protesters set off firecrackers and tried to climb the fence in front of the building. The feds deployed tear gas. The mayors of Portland, Seattle, Chicago, Kansas City, Albuquerque, and Washington, all cities where President Trump has sent militarized agents under Operation Legend or threatened to, sent a letter to lawmakers saying the administration's egregious use of federal force on cities over the objections of local authorities should never happen. I'm Julie Walker.
This news from VOA Asia. Floods caused by heavy monsoon rains in two of India's poorest states have displaced or affected 8 million people and killed 111 since May, at a time when coronavirus cases have swelled there. All of the big stories come your way through the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia.
A message from your friends at VOA Asia. Can the coronavirus survive in cold weather? Can the virus be spread by mosquito bites? Is there a vaccine or medication that prevents it? Is there any medicine that cures it? The answer to all of the questions is no. The best steps to take: wash your hands, cover your cough, stay at home if you're sick or advised to by local authorities. A message from your friends at VOA Asia.
Thank you for being with us on VOA Asia. News from Australia, where New South Wales police Monday warned students of Chinese background studying in Sydney to be aware of a virtual kidnapping scam that has obtained millions in payments from unsuspecting victims. Reuters' Gloria Tso reports.
Video released by Australian police Monday shows a disturbing sight. What appears to be a person with hands and feet bound and tied up in what police are calling a virtual kidnapping scam targeting Chinese students in Sydney. Police say the scam has already obtained millions in payments from unsuspecting victims. New South Wales official Darren Bennett explained the scam to reporters on Monday.
The offence types are very disparate in their range. They can form the intent to create a scam kidnapping, where people communicate to their family overseas and pretend they've been kidnapped on instruction from a fraudster ringing them on the telephone.
Scammers call up the victims they plan to target, claiming to be from a Chinese authority like the police or tax department, according to the statement released by the NSW police. The caller then, quote, convinces the victim they have been implicated in a crime in China or that their identity has been stolen and that they must pay a fee to avoid legal action, arrest, or deportation. Bennett called the crimes, quote, egregious and very cruel.
A recent one that we've had was essentially threatening harm against people, family members in China, unless they contrive a photograph that makes them look like they've been kidnapped. Then they encourage the person to lock themselves away in a hotel room, turn their phones off, cease all contact. So the people in China have got a two-pronged threat. They've got this photo of their loved one and they can't get in touch with their loved one.
Bennett also warned that the phone calls are becoming very common and encouraged anyone receiving one not to fall for the scam.
Reuters' Gloria Tso reporting. Thank you for joining us. Thanks to our managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team of Jim Stevenson, Keith Lane, and Doug Bernard. I'm Ira Melman in Washington.